listen in on the party line, the Monticello party line, with Sarah and Aggie and Laurie and Paul, and Tuttle and Curly, Louisa and all. Each morning at your radio, all your good friends are saying hello. From Texas to Maine, our great friendship chain, we're friends on the party line. Oh, come listen in on the party line.
Hello, Laurie Parker, operator. This is the party line, the biggest and friendliest party line in the world. And we hope that you're a new listener, eavesdropping this first time by chance, and that you'll stay with us and become a regular party liner, together with all the rest of our friends all over the country.
That was very nice, Laurie. And now let's see if you know the slogan about next Monday.
Letter perfect. Listen, Monday, December 5th, 1938. For all party liners, a most important date. Right, Ken?
Right. Letter perfect.
Then I'll get back to the board, and the line is yours, Ken.
Today, party liners, we're going to hear some startling news from Alaska. While Marilyn Owens and Aunt Willie are discussing Marilyn's husband down in Aunt Willie's kitchen in Monticello, Illinois, Jack Owens, way up in Alaska, is walking toward a serious climax in his life. But before we hear more of that, I'd like to talk to you. I want to talk especially to you party line mothers. Would you dare to give your children any medicine which your own doctor would not approve? Would you dare to give them a medicine which might contain harmful ingredients, which might be harsh on tender little inner workings? Please don't give them anything a doctor wouldn't approve. And do ask your doctor, ask your druggist about Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin as a laxative for your family. You will find that they probably approve wholeheartedly of syrup pepsin and the mild, gentle ingredients it contains. That famous formula of syrup pepsin is boldly displayed right on the carton for all the world to see. Now, if you won't take my word for it, talk with your doctor and your druggist. But I say that you can take my word and the word of tens of thousands of families who use Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin as their family laxative. Get a bottle at your own drugstore. It costs very little, and it lasts a long, long time. The big family size saves you 20%. Phone your druggist today. Down here in Monticello, little old Wilhelmina Witherspoon, or Aunt Willie as we like to call her, has just told young Marilyn Owens that she has received a letter and a check from Jack, Marilyn's ne'er-do-well husband. Aunt Willie believes that because Jack has gone to Alaska, not to invest in a gold mine, but to work, he has really started a new life. She wants Marilyn to have faith in him and not to go through with the divorce she's seeking. At the same moment, thousands of miles away, far up in Alaska, Jack Owens has just received another paycheck. He, his good friend Rocky, and another man who works with him for the construction company have just left the paymaster's office. The third man, Alex, an Englishman, has persuaded Rocky and Jack to go with him to Hank's place. The three of them, their sheepskin coats buttoned high about their ears, lean into the strong wintry wind that whips along the hard frozen road.
Yeah, nice little summer breeze we're having. Just 30 or 40 miles an hour. Playful little thing.
You haven't seen a thing yet. Wait till it really whips up. January's the time. February isn't exactly balmy.
Oh, come on. You'd think you fellas were talking about Alaska.
As a matter of fact, winter up here isn't a whole lot tougher than I've known it down in Montana or North Dakota, down in the States.
I've never found it half as cold as London on a fine, wet day in early March. There is something to dampen your bones.
What did you ever leave London for to come out to this crazy country, Alex? I've only been in London once, but I kind of had an idea I'd just as soon stay there the rest of my life.
Not if you were I, you wouldn't. Listen to him, Rockwell, asking me what I'm up here for. Owen's about as chatty as a codfish himself. What's he up here for?
Well, you might ask him yourself. I notice he's walking right next to you.
Well, I just came up here to see if I could get to the top of the world. I'd like to sit up there and hang my heels over the edge.
Not a bad idea at that. A fellow could sit up there and take pot shots at a few people down below. I say, sitting in Hank's is going to be a bit of all right on a day like this. Aren't you glad you decided to come, Owens?
Well, since we haven't gotten there yet, I wouldn't know. Say, what the dickens? Look at that.
Look at what?
Well, I'll be salted down. That thing's still standing.
Look at that crane. I thought they gave orders yesterday to get that thing out of the way.
They did. Ramsey sent down word that it would either have to be moved back further off the road or else knock it down altogether.
Well, I guess they are working on it at that, but...
There can't be any of Corollary's men. I don't see any trucks.
Well, those are kids.
Kids? What the dickens are they doing playing around a thing like that?
Oh, they've been doing it for days. That's one reason the old man wants it taken down.
Oh, those crazy kids. They'd get hurt playing on that thing.
Hey, you. Better come down off that thing.
Better get off that train if you value your necks, all of you.
Look at them go. They're getting down as fast as so many flies.
Look at that little fellow up on top. I think they've abandoned him.
Hey, you kids. Come back here.
No, they won't come back. Probably thought they were going to get the dickens. Look at that poor little guy way up there. He can't be more than 6 or 7 years old. Hi there, buddy. Hi, buddy.
He's too scared to answer you.
Well, it looks as if he's too scared to try to get down.
Come on down, fella. Take it easy. The rest of them made it. You can.
That's a boy. Look out there. Watch where you put your foot.
He's trembling like a rabbit. Don't get excited. Climb down slow and easy. You'll make it all right.
He's doing a bad job. Nervous as a cat. Hey!
Oh, you got it.
No.
He's caught.
That coat will never hold him.
Boy, look out. Let me up there. Hold out, son. We'll be with him in a second.
No, Rocky, you're crazy. You can't climb up there. The thing won't hold you.
Don't try it, Rocky. You'll break your bloody neck.
Give me a hand. Keep your eyes on the boy. If he's falling...
Rocky, I tell you, you're crazy. You'll break your neck.
Let him go. No use pulling him back.
Hold out a second, son. Hold out a second. I'll be up there in a minute.
Well, now, watch out. He's going to crash. Rocky!
How is that?
Rocky, jump, you crazy idiot! Jump!
The huge crane, old, decrepit, condemned, crashed to the frozen, snow-covered ground. There's a long moment of horrible silence. What happened to Rocky, to the child, to the Englishman, and to Marilyn's husband, Jack Owens? We won't know until tomorrow, for at this moment, we must look in on a scene in Monticello. The time is a moment after the accident in faraway Alaska. Marilyn Owens and little old Aunt Willie Witherspoon are continuing their conversation, the first part of which we heard yesterday.
I don't say I can't be wrong, Marilyn, but I'm so sure that Jack is on the right road at last. So sure I feel as if it were the worst mistake you'd ever made if you should go through with this divorce of yours.
Aunt Willie, it was awfully hard to decide to get the divorce, but now that I've made up my mind at last, I feel as if I couldn't turn back.
Is it because you've forgotten your husband altogether?
Forgotten him? If I only could.
Good. Now, just suppose, if he turned out to be the kind of a man you always hoped he would be, the kind you thought he was when you first fell in love with him, would you still want to divorce then?
Aunt Willie, you're talking about miracles now.
Miracles have happened.
Have they?
Well, otherwise, where do you think they'd get the name from? There must be such a thing as a miracle, or there wouldn't be any name for it.
Well, maybe you're right, Aunt Willie. Usually are.
Well, it's about time you agreed with me. Then you'll tell Judge Harrison to set aside that divorce proceeding.
Oh, I meant that you must be right about miracles. Not about a miracle for me.
Oh, I might have known it was too good to be true.
Willie, I don't know why you should worry so much about me or about Jack or Kitty. It makes me feel guilty that you take my troubles so much to heart.
Now, don't tell me I can't keep myself busy worrying about other people's troubles if I want to. I told you I get mighty tired of just sitting here knitting, looking out of the window and wondering just what the good Lord keeps me above ground for.
Oh, Aunt Willie, don't you ever dare talk like that.
Well, I don't seem to be doing much good.
Oh, you're doing more than you'll ever know.
It's no good unless you tell me that you mean to at least consider giving Jack another chance.
Even if Jack made good at that job up there, it might be better for him to start life without any of the old ties at all.
Oh, nonsense.
But I mean, then he might be more likely to stay on the right track. I'm afraid I'll never have a very good influence on Jack.
No. No, I guess you're right there. You were too meek and mild. You should have stood up and cracked the whip around that young man's ears once in a while. Then you'd all have been better off.
Maybe if I'd encouraged him to do something like he's doing now... Something completely removed from the world he's familiar with. Aunt Willie, what did you say Jack is working at up there in Alaska?
I don't know if I told you or not. He's working with a construction company.
construction company, what would that mean?
Why, constructing, of course. What else?
Construction. Aunt Willie, well, that's likely to be dangerous, isn't it?
Dangerous?
Yes. Don't they often get hurt, people who work on construction jobs?
Well, I'd say it all depended on what they were constructing, whether it's dangerous or not.
I don't know why, but I just had the strangest feeling that Jack might be in danger.
Now, just what kind of danger would he be in, I'd like to know.
I don't know. I suppose it's just because Alaska sounds so far away. It sounds like such a rough, uncivilized sort of place.
Oh, Plum Jam. Alaska has modern cities and bathtubs and automobiles and highways, just like any other part of the United States. Don't forget, it is a part of the United States.
Yes, of course it is. But no doubt people live very comfortably and very safely up there, too. I'll be glad to learn something about Alaska when I read that book you got at the library.
It's got some very nice maps in it.
Maps? I wonder, could you tell me where the town is?
Town? What town?
The town where Jack is. I'd rather like to know where he is right now.
But if Marilyn knew where Jack Owens is at this moment, well, I wonder what her feelings would be. And as to Jack Owens and what happened to him when the crash occurred today, we should have news for you tomorrow on the line. But in the meantime, on the line right now...
Hello, is that you, Clem?
Yeah, was you calling me up about something, Curly, or just to pass the time of day?
Well, I was just wondering, Clem, have you heard the slogan?
The slogan? The slogan?
For the big news Monday, Clem. Monday, December 5th, 1938, for all party liners, a most important date. How do you like that, Clem?
Well, for Pete and pity's sakes, Curly, I made that slogan up myself.
Oh, why, so you did, Clem, so you did.
Made it up down to your shop, if you'll be so good as to remember. And you was the first person in the world to hear it.
Why, I beg your pardon, Clem. I don't see how I could forget that. And here I was the first person in the world to hear your slogan.
The first, but not the last. All along the party line, your friends are saying, Monday, December 5th, 1938, for all party liners, a most important date. Party liners, I repeat, do you think your doctor would approve of the kind of laxative you're now using? If it's Dr. Caldwell's Therapepsin combined with laxative center compound, I'm confident that he would approve. But if you've made the mistake of getting some harsh, doubtful drugs, then look out. You're in for a bad scolding from the doctor. Therapepsin was first formulated by a doctor himself, a country doctor who knew what's good for people and what they need when inner workings are out of kilter. So, party liners, get Therapepsin into that home medicine cabinet as your family laxative beginning today. It's been in the homes of American families for nearly 50 years, so it just must be good. Let Therapepsin help you to smile again. Try it, won't you? You get it at any drugstore, and it's spelled S-Y-R-U-P, syrup, P-E-P-S-I-N, Pepsin. Syrup, Pepsin. What about that horrible crash in Alaska? Was Jack Owens hurt? Be sure to tune in the party line tomorrow.